One of the world's first known Christian churches is in Syria, along with Roman temples, Crusader castles, ancient fortresses, medieval mosques. Syria's capital, Damascus, and its largest city, Aleppo, are among the oldest continuously inhabited cities in the world. And that rich cultural heritage is at risk now. You are hearing the news out of Syria. Violence, of course, increasing in the country's 18-month uprising. There are reports of looting. Foremost on everyone's minds, the loss of life. Over 20,000 killed so far, according to some estimates. But could entire chapters of human history also be erased? Architect and historian Nasser Rabat joins us. He directs the Aga Khan Program for Islamic Architecture at MIT. Nasser, welcome.
Thank you.
Flesh this out a little bit more, the peoples that came through Syria.
Actually, let me start with the place where the first alphabet in history was composed, the city of Ugarit, which is a Phoenician site. The date on that tablet that has the first alphabet that ultimately gave us the Greek alphabet and ultimately the Latin and all of the contemporary European alphabets is actually 2000 BC. And then you move a little bit to the south of it and you get to the city of Latakia, which is one of the Seleucid cities of Syria.
Seleucid.
Seleucus was a general of Alexander the Great. So Alexander the Great took over Syria. One of his generals inherited Syria, became a kingdom, and built a city for his mother, Laodice, and named it after her. And it became the city of Latakia, which is the main port on the sea. On the Mediterranean Sea. Aleppo is one of the oldest, and the Aleppine would love to say the oldest, continuously inhabited city in Syria. And to prove that, 6 or 7 years ago, a new temple was discovered at an excavation 7 meters below the surface of the citadel of Aleppo. And that temple is 4,200 years old, and it has a wonderful, continuous slab of stone with statues of gods and monsters and so on. But that's in Aleppo, in the mount or the mound of the citadel itself. The citadel is one of the most marvelous citadels of the medieval period, completed in its form in the early 13th century. Aleppo itself is home to some of the most beautiful mosques and madrasas of the medieval period.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the citadel. And again, we're very conscious of the headlines. We're so conscious of the news coming out of Syria. We know there's such loss of life. But, you know, while we're seeing some of this terrible footage, we're seeing some of these antiquities. This great medieval citadel in the center of town, we see it's been serving as a makeshift army base.
As Robert Fiske said, it has reverted to its medieval function in a sense. It had become the defensive structure that some of the troops of the regime have taken refuge in, and they have been using it also to shell the rest of the city. It's high. It's actually about 30 meters higher than the level of the city itself. The interior of the citadel is actually mostly an archaeological site. There's a beautiful 13th century palace. Now there's the excavation. There are two mosques. One of them is ascribed to Abraham, the patriarch, because the story is that Abraham passed by Aleppo. And Aleppo in Arabic is pronounced halab, which means to milk. And it is said that he ordered his slave to milk the goats there, and they established some sort of a settlement.
Well, another city, Dura Europos, has the first known church known anywhere, you say, and stories from the Bible?
It has one of the first houses turned into a church. This is probably the earliest known church. It's a city that was the border between the Roman and the Persian empires, and it was a huge commercial center. So every religion has a place of worship there, including, of course, all the pagan religions, and that church and a synagogue. And the synagogue has a beautiful series of images, a cycle of the stories of the Bible, of the patriarchs. Mm. And it starts from Abraham and goes all the way down.
Well, and the potential harming of these antiquities is coming from both the regime and the rebels. Both are taking sanctuary inside them and so drawing fire to them. And both sides stand to lose because the country stands to lose.
Absolutely.
What do we lose, those of us who don't live there?
The first is that we lose perhaps some of the most impressive treasures of humanities in terms of art, architecture, culture, even actually our intellectual heritage. In the city of Ebla, which is another site from the third millennium, they had discovered a library of tablets. And at some point it was rumored that they have mentions of patriarchs from the Bible, which would be the first time that we have a historic proof of the existence of these people. Some people have denied that later, and it's not resolved as an issue.
But still, we want to be able to resolve it.
We want it still there.
Yeah.
We want them to still be there. What we lose is one of the examples, probably the best preserved examples, of a continuous civilizational exchange in one land from the third millennium all the way to the present. Everything that, at least from a Western perspective, we look at as our heritage, the Phoenician Syria, the Aramaean Syria, so you have the biblical Syria and you have the language and travel Syria. You have after that the Greek Hellenistic Syria, after that the Roman Syria, after that the Christian Byzantine Syria, after that the early Islamic Caliphal Syria, then the medieval Islamic Syria, then Crusader Syria, then the Ottoman Turkish Syria, and then the modern Syria. All of those have left actually cities, full sites. There are about 60 sites in Syria that are cities that are not inhabited today and that still stand in all of their majesty, reminding us how important it is to actually look at the heritage as a lesson of how we should live together. Pagan, Jewish, Christian, Muslims, all leaving their traces on that one land. And it will be a pity if we lose the physical heritage that actually shows us that rich,
that reality.
Multiculturalist, yeah. If one could use a contemporary term, Syria. There are 17 religions in Syria. And if I may actually read to you the epitaph of a Syrian poet from the Greek period. It says, "Tread softly, O stranger, for here an old man sleeps among the holy dead, lulled in the slumber due to all. Meleager, son of Eucrates, who united love of the sweet tears and the muses with the joyous graces. If thou art a Syrian, say Salam, and if a Phoenician, Naidios, and if a Greek, Hail, they are the same." That's the feeling that we are losing with the loss of the heritage in Syria, both on the human level and on the historical, archaeological level.
Tread softly indeed. Architect and historian Nasser Rabat. He directs the Aga Khan Program for Islamic Architecture at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Thank you so much for coming in to talk to us.
Thank you, Robin.
You're listening to Here and Now.